Okay, quick check, KT. Make sure that you say Foam News Collective, not PNNN.
Yes, yes, I will.
If you don't, you will never live it down.
That's possible. Not that I ever correctly said PNNN. All right. We are ready for me to say the correct name at the beginning of the podcast. Let's do it. Hello and welcome to episode 20 of what is now the Foam News Collective podcast, formerly the Provisional Nerf News Network podcast. I am KT. I'm here with my co-hosts, Vile Mods, JoltKing627. Say what's up.
Hello.
What up?
Grims isn't here at the moment, but is going to try to hop in later. So hopefully that all comes together. 20 episodes. We did it.
How are we so already far at 20? It doesn't feel like we've been doing this that long.
Well, there's 52 weeks in a year. So if we record an episode every other week, that is a little bit over 20. That's 26. Math? Yeah. So yeah, we're most of the way through the year. Started at the beginning of January. We missed we started halfway through January, right? So there should be 51 episodes, except we know we're going to take part of December off. So there'll probably be 50. 50 week. Sorry. No, that's not how math works.
It's like 24.
KT needs to go back to school and learn basic math.
I just need to go back to sleep, man.
Same.
Okay. how do we feel about, where the show is at now versus where the show was at, not even in episode one, just like episode 10.
I feel like we've come a lot farther than I ever expected.
I am kind of amazed. Like, it's so easy for me to sort of, I mean, I spend so much time with all the material editing the show. And I think I'm amazed at how much every single one of us has improved. It's like every one of us has learned all these lessons about, how to perform segments, how to research things, how to make our segments look better and sound better. And it just feels like across the board, we just continue to get better, better and better. And the show just looks, episode 20 looks so good. Grim's new PingTuber is so good and brings so much character to the show. The new art, the new backgrounds, the consistency of the look of the show. I made changes to my lighting that really improved things, I think.
And I came up with the name.
That is also true. The name was Jolt's idea.
I also just got a new camera. So there's like a whole new, like, right? It started halfway through recording of this episode. So there might be one or two. I try to keep it relatively the same, but yeah.
Gotta notice those inconsistencies. Just an Easter egg out there for listeners. I think there was one episode where if you looked closely, because I filmed on two separate days, my hair was in a ponytail in some spots and wasn't in others.
That's right. There's all kinds of weird stuff like that. I love that stuff. I think Vile, the only story this week that is in the old camera that remained was Nerf Ball. I think your Nerf Ball segment is old camera, and then everything else was when you switched it.
Was it? I don't even remember now because
because we had to re-record a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know what is and what isn't now. I guess people have to just try to pick out the differences. I don't know. Yeah.
We also launched our Ko-fi and already have
Ko-fi or
subscribers. Ko-fi. Well,
coffee.
So I actually looked at this and officially say they go out of their way to say this on their branding page. Pronounce it however you want.
That's so funny.
So in the show, I don't know if it's going to make the show, but there's a blooper about where I said it two different ways in a thing, and then I was like, I can't say it two different ways in the same. So I changed.
So they won't be mad if I say coffee.
I mean, that's a little bit weird because it doesn't spell that way, but I don't think they'll care. But Grim actually says it a different way in the outro than I said it in the intro. But like, it's fine, right? Because people pronounce it all. It's whatever. Obviously, it looks like a coffee cup. So like, coffee is fine. But also, it's hard for me not to see it and think like Ko-fi or Ko-fi.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But we launched that, and oh, actually, I need to put something on the outline here. We actually have a question from one of our subscribers that we're going to need to answer.
Oh,
true.
Which we might do. I think we'll actually probably do that right before What's That Blaster. But leading into that, we're going to be talking about stuff from Toy Fair. We have a few interesting things that have been reported on by at Toy Fair, mostly by Blaster Hub.
Wait, KT, don't forget the merch.
Man, you're right. I should have talked about it before this. Well, we do have a merch page, and we didn't mention it in the show because we didn't want to kind of like crowd the intro with a whole bunch of new things. But if you listen to the podcast, you get to be the first to hear us actually say that we do have merch. It will be linked in the description. We'll advertise it more probably getting into the next episode, but we have shirts and other shirts and
it was like
hoodies?
Coffee mug. It was actually hoodies, t-shirts, some stickers, and like coffee mugs, which actually I kind of like the coffee mugs. I think they look really good.
Coffee mugs are cool. Yeah, and we have a lot. It's a mix of, so you know, we have the two new logos. We have the Megaphone logo, and then we also have the text waveform logo, and we have merch for both of those things, and that's exciting. But yeah, like I said, we're going to talk about Toy Fair stuff. We're going to talk about, chalk darts, big topic, before we play What's That Blaster. And then afterwards we are of course going to talk about Nerf ball, which is sort of the big, thing. And also the timing of its announcement relative to Toy Fair is kind of interesting. So we'll talk about that a bit, and then we'll end with our fun little question, open question at the end. But before we do any of that, we, as always, have to go through these stories that got skipped. And the first among those is actually one that was given to us just before, so close to the release of episode 19, that there was no way for us to work it in. It was just too late. We could not go back. I was already uploading the final file and literally did not have time to re-upload again and have the video process in time. We reported on a few new X-Shot blasters that are sort of in their main line. They're like red blasters that they have. This one is the X-Shot Caliber. And I'll put a picture on the podcast. Not going to do that a lot. Really annoying. But I'm going to I'll put a picture up. But it's the X-Shot Caliber, and it's kind of like it's very reflex six-y, right? It's like one of all of these many like six-shot rotating drum blasters with a straight prime, but it has a really long barrel.
It's like a big iron.
Absolutely.
Overcompensator, it looks cool. Revolver.
Absolutely. It looks cool. Mechanically, it doesn't look like... It's someone's going to open it up, and it's either going to be a Reflex 6 copy or a copy of one of the other Reflex 6X-esque blasters that they have with a longer shell. And that's fine. Someone's going to do something cool with it. I know that like X-Shot plastic isn't folks' favorite for integrations, but like someone will do something with it at some point, I'm sure.
It'll probably take pink really nice. Like as a nice painted blaster, I think it would look good.
I imagine so. Although red is a little bit frustrating sometimes to...
Yeah, it can be.
And then another story which was interesting, but ultimately is pretty far outside of the realm of the hobby stuff that we usually talk about, is Mark Rober's recent video about his world's smallest blaster. Mark Rober is, of course, massive YouTuber, famous, among other things, for his world's largest Nerf blaster, which was a giant Maverick made out of wood, I think. He's taken it to a bunch of events and stuff, and it shoots like giant foam projectiles that are shaped like giant suction cup darts. The world's smallest one is, like, I watched a little bit of this video.
I watched the whole video. He gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And then it turns
right. Well,
at a point,
because
like,
he has the
smallest...
giant one.
the smallest functional one was small enough that it would be like to scale for an ant to use, and it actually fired. And then they decided to go smaller and made one out of freaking DNA. It couldn't fire, but it was in the shape of a Maverick, so does it count? Close enough.
Well, because I remember there was a big thing, musicians were joking for a while. Someone did the same kind of thing with a guitar. They made a microscopic guitar, and the way that it was built, it actually had strings that technically could be plucked. And it was a very, like, if a tree falls in a forest kind of situation, because it's like, well, you can't hear that frequency, whatever's going on there, even if it was loud enough. So, like, is it actually making sound? So there's a history of this kind of thing being done. And it's definitely, like, interesting, but, like I said, someone did this with a guitar. This could have been done with literally anything. It was literally just that he had done the Nerf thing before. We just didn't feel like, I mean, obviously, like, part of this comes back to, we have a mission statement now. And part of that mission statement is that we do what we do, and we make this show, and we try to keep the show entertaining, to keep eyes on the show, to spread the word about things that are happening in the hobby and just make things more visible and make them be more heard about. Mark Rober doesn't need our help spreading the word about his teeny tiny Nerf Blaster, and the teeny tiny Nerf Blaster doesn't really benefit the hobby. Nobody's seeing this for the first time and being like, oh, what's a Nerf Blaster? I'm going to
They literally used a Maverick, the most recognizable Nerf Blaster arguably ever.
Yeah, agreed. So very cool. You should go watch the video if you think that sounds interesting. We saw no reason to cover it. Another thing that got reported to us was a story, and this one was kind of weird. There was a Reddit post saying that Blaster Hub, a great news Nerf news blog run by Buff Daddy, was hacked. I think that title is a misnomer. It does not seem like Blaster Hub was hacked. It seems like they are ad supported. And what happens sometimes is, especially if your security, it sounds like his security certificates got behind, and you can wind up with ads that do like screen takeovers or make the, like, you have to like click on the buttons infinitely to try to dismiss them and stuff like that. And they were getting those kinds of ads on the site. It's fixed now, and we didn't cover it, A, because it sounded like it was being hyped up a little too much in a way that was probably not healthy. And B, I figured it would be fixed by the time the show came out, and it was.
Sure enough, it was, yeah.
Da-da-da. And I'm thankful for it. We drew a lot from Blaster Hub for this show. A lot of the stuff, we're going to talk about Toy Fair stuff, a lot of that information came from Blaster Hub. So super, super appreciative, because we just weren't at Toy Fair. And also, quick note, The Alchemist, The Silly Butts Alchemist, is pushed back another episode because the parts were delayed. And so we're still waiting for kits to actually be available, and then we'll do a proper feature on The Alchemist. And also, PA Survival Fest, Pennsylvania Survival Fest, had sort of a little announcement that they, you know, last time we covered them, they were looking for people to join their admin team. They found those people. They now have an admin team of, what, like 20 people?
Yeah, I said 20 now. They brought in 8 new people.
Right. And they're hoping to expand the reach of the event and do multiple events throughout the year. They're turning their one-day big event into a 3-day big event. And they're doing lots of stuff. But ultimately, we did not put this on the show for now because we would like to be able to dedicate real showtime to them later when they have a date scheduled.
Yeah.
Because right now there's no date.
It was a lot of changes with the organization, essentially, because they're no longer Pennsylvania Survival Fest. Now they're just called Survival Fest because they want to change venues, have the ability to go to different states and or different places. Because they're hoping to also possibly host more events throughout the year. So it's kind of like there's big changes coming, but nothing like official. So it was kind of like, what do we really not talk about? You know, it's kind of a lot, and it's better to just go see their video, in all honesty, if you want to see what changes they're you know, thinking about.
Yep. And I think we're generally looking with stories like this for something that's actionable, where it's like, oh, like, here's a date, here's a place. You can now go and look at your look, be like, oh, can I get there? Can I like save up money for travel? Like, can I look into travel arrangements? Can I register for something? Whereas this is sort of just like, hype building, which is great, but I think in the context of our news show, I don't want to wear people out on hearing about an event before there's anything to do about the event. I would rather give them like a good story later.
Yeah, they hadn't even solidified exactly where they were going to hold the event. They were tossing between at least two of them as of right now. So again, that's, you know, it's just still up in the air.
Yep.
I guarantee you, though, whatever they come up with will be pretty awesome. They got some good people over
there. I'm sure. Yeah, for sure. And speaking of big events, this last weekend was Toy Fair in New York. And that is always kind of a big time for new things to pop up and opportunities to see stuff that may not yet be public or on shelves. And this one didn't disappoint for the most part. We had a few things we want to look at real quick. One is Dart Zone had a bunch of stuff to show, and we're going to talk about the bigger one in a minute. But they had metallic versions of the Mark IV, which is cool. They're kind of like promo things. But they had an injection molded Scar.
Not technically a Scar. I guess we're going with the acronym WCAR. I guess.
What car? No.
It's so, wheels.
Well, I mean, there was discussion about this in the Discord where, like, the functional difference between a bearing...
I'm on team what car?
The functional difference between a bearing scar and a wheel scar... And again, we haven't had this in hand, and no one that did have it in hand has, like, weighed in on this. But the difference is a normal bearing scar has bearings, which are, like, a multi-part spinning thing. The claim is that this is, instead of bearings, it's just wheels, which is a single part that's just spinning on a post, which theoretically would increase friction, but, like, maybe it just doesn't matter that much. I don't know. Do we call it a different thing? Do we call it a Scar? Do we call it a Bacar? Do we call it a Wakar?
I'm calling it a Wakar. I don't care if it technically is similar enough to a B-car.
That's fine.
It ain't a bearing.
My only concern with that, you're not wrong. Like, if they are distinct things, it is worth keeping them distinct. I just know that it eventually leads to people on Reddit or whatever getting, like, really snippy about about the differences.
Okay. Clip versus mag. I can see it.
Yes, exactly. So that's my only thing. Now, the thing I think is interesting about this, aside from just that it will make them widely available, and hopefully it works well, right? Hopefully it's very functional. It looks like it's serviceable. And I thought this was interesting. There are visible screws on the end of it. And a couple people were saying it looked like, you know, you could take the cap off and, like, take out the wheels, maybe replace them or oil them.
Maybe you could say, like, design your own 3D printed one to get a different twist rate going.
Potentially. You could replace the wheels with bearings, potentially, which might be a cheap upgrade.
Yeah, that would be a really interesting one. That was my biggest thing about it is the ability to get, even if it is wheel, getting something that has the design kind of in the masses, they can get the cost down. So they almost are helping to, you know, race to the bottom for cost. And yeah, if they were smart, they designed it with the bearings, with the bearings in mind for people later, like us, to, you know, upgrade them and put bearings into it and it become, you know, a serviceable thing or whatever. And we're buying theirs and then just putting our own bearings in it. It's great. It'd be a great opportunity for us.
I think that's possible for sure. So they showed this thing fitting on the Mark IV. We haven't seen it on anything else. So who knows? Like, what? I don't know what the compatibility is between the Mark IV muzzle. The Mark IV muzzle is already weird, right? Because you have the, like, attachment one, and you can't put the existing scar on that, but you can put it straight onto the blast. I don't know. So I don't know what it's going to be compatible with, but hopefully they've thought of this and it's compatible with a number of their stuff. Who knows? Also pretty interesting was Zing's booth, where they had, first of all, Zing, known for making those bows that are banned at all the events because they shoot super hard but are really, really fun. Marshmallow blasters as well. They had gel blasters, which is always kind of like, oh man, another company's making gel blasters, but they were cyberpunk themed. So they got the cyberpunk license, and we know that they previously got the Avatar license, so they seem to have some kind of a hookup for licenses, because those are both pretty big licenses. And the products look really good.
Yeah.
They're very like Nerf limited kind of like fancy packaging. One of them has the only one that's actually confirmed to be coming to market, the Skippy, comes in two versions. One that's just like the blaster with like the charger, battery charger, and the gelets. And the other one is like a special edition that comes with a stand and the pins, right?
Yeah, and two collectible pins and some other stuff. Yeah, but they were just, I mean, they look like full rips from the game. They're kind of weathered and worn. The paint looks really good on them. Like, I'm kind of surprised. Like, for Zing especially, I was like, I would not have expected Zing to be getting...
Of all
the companies. It was just kind of surprising.
I mean, I would expect Dart Zone to try this first.
Yeah.
Right? And Dart Zone did the babysitter's bat is really, really cool.
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider it a show replica.
No.
But it's definitely like iconic and has, we just found the Morse code thing on the side, right? Like there's clever secrets and stuff built into the product, which is awesome. Zing is not a company that would have come to mind for this kind of product. And so it's cool to see them doing that. It's kind of a bummer that I doubt that they're going to get into dart firing. They could surprise us.
But you never know. You can find dart firing things from the weirdest companies, like freaking Kinects of all things.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
that is very true. So maybe I would love to see it if they're going to build stuff on this quality. Time will tell, I guess. But stepping back to Dart Zone, they're not the only company doing this, but we've known for a while that chalk darts were coming back as a thing. We saw a patent and we saw a trademark, which now that I think about it, Dart Zone trademarked Chalk It and then they didn't use it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But at least from what I saw from Toy Fair, they didn't use Chalk It. I'm pretty sure that was that what it was on the
they
report?
Called it, I can't they remember. Called it Tag Something. I put it in the title of the thing. Where is it? Dart Zone.
Well, you know what's even weirder though? These weren't the only chalk things at Toy Fair.
Yeah. That was a really interesting one.
These things Color that Clash. Appear to be like Demolisher Rocket. I don't want to say ripoffs, but ripoffs.
They look a lot like them. Well, okay, so the Color Clash blasters look like they're hamps. They're like hamp firing Demolisher Rocket things. I would love, obviously, to see these be compatible with Demolisher Rocket.
Yes.
Because we get new Demolisher Rocket launchers and we get chalk laden Demolisher rockets that we can put in our existing Demolisher Rocket blasters, right? That would be incredible. Considering the degree to which people make compatible ammo with Nerf blasters, God, I hope they did it this way. Because, like, it feels like a no brainer. I can't imagine there's a legal problem there, considering how much cross compatibility already exists.
Yeah, we've seen it for like all ammo types, basically. Rival, even God, Mega has so. Had a couple things like the TMNT yeah. blasters and that one weird thing that fires star stickers.
Well, Busby had two.
Oh yeah, Busby had them too. Blasters. I forgot about that.
So, wow, Jolt forgot about a Busby thing. I don't believe it.
I know.
I'm tired.
So. Color Clash looks really cool to me. I am super excited about this. They have like a big chalk dart head. They leave like, if you look in the back, we didn't highlight this in the show, but if you look in the big picture that Buff Daddy took, they have these targets on the wall and they have big old round marks on them from people shooting the rockets at them. And I think that was the thing about Dart Zone's chalk stuff that was a little bit underwhelming, was it puts a very small amount of chalk out. Obviously, there's benefits to this. If you're in a competitive situation, you shouldn't need to put a lot of chalk on, right? Because theoretically, it's I don't know.
honestly, from what I saw, I watched Drax's video on this. It looked like it would be more visible in person than it shows up on camera. Yeah, the camera angle really screwed kind of with how visible it was.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You know, interesting take on that, though, because you're saying about, you know, the visibility, even if that is something that illuminates under black light.
That's true. Okay.
Because if you have black light, it becomes very bright, and you don't even need like the black lights, you know, can still be drowned out by normal lighting, but they will make those things kind of shine a lot brighter.
That's very true. So the dart zone, one of the cool things about the dart zone thing is, and Drax showed this but did not do it, so we don't actually know how it works, but like, you're supposed to be able to refill the tips on the darts from like a little bottle. Mm-hmm. And you can refill it with a variety of different things, so yeah, a blacklight reactant filling for those darts would be really cool. The Color Clash ones, and like, we're going back and forth between Color Clash and Dart Zone. There's really not much cross-purpose use for these two things. Like, one of them is a hamp rocket and the other one is a dart that it's supposed to like fit in your like your Mark III and your Caliburn, right?
But this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. Actually, is you'll notice the blasters that I saw used, at least in Drax videos, were both revolvers. I'm wondering,
noticed that as well.
I'm wondering how well these darts work. One, in flywheelers, and two, in magazines. Because my biggest concern here is mess. Because if you're squishing that dart head, you're getting that stuff everywhere inside your flywheeler. That's going to be disgusting.
That is so true. That is so true. Especially depends on your crush, right? If you have a high crush situation, you are losing a lot of chalk.
Presumably. And it's going to, where's that going? It could go inside your motors through the vents, and that can't be good.
Yeah.
And with springers, it's a little less of an issue, but it's still like, you're going to gum up your O-ring over time, I'm sure. So it's like a really concept, and it's innovative, but it's one of those ones where I feel like it's more trouble than it's worth, because you're going to have to clean out all your blasters and possibly ruin them.
That's a very good thought.
Remains to be seen how bad it is.
I mean, I mentioned this in the script, right? It seems like they're intending, by having a short dart and a full length, to fit a wider variety of blasters. But yeah, there's a lot of limitation just in terms of where the gunk is going to go as you're firing them.
Like, don't get me wrong, this is a really cool idea. Like, this is, it reminds me of the Velcro taggers that Dart Tag had.
Mm-hmm.
Those were pretty cool too.
Those were cool. I like that idea. I mean, like, at a certain point, if you're relying on a chalk mark to confirm that you got a tag, I think you're going to have a problem in general, because like, now the referees, instead of having to watch to see if the people get hit, you're kind of having to watch to make sure people, because like, theoretically, if you get hit by a dart, it's your job to be honest about the fact that you got hit by a dart, right? Now, if you get hit by a dart and you get hit with the chalk, really the difference is, do you take a second to brush the chalk off and then lie about being tagged?
Yeah.
or do you be honest, like you would have been honest anyway. So I really like it in terms of like confirming a game type where like you have to hit a target and being able to confirm that the target was hit. And I like Color Clash at least as much, because like, oh, I guess, you know, the fact that the tags, the Dart Zone ones are refillable means you could refill them by team color. Right? Like, have a red colored powder in one and a blue colored powder in the other. Game types where you are providing all the blasters, where it's all revolvers or whatever. Yeah, there's a lot of cool possibilities, but I think we'll see how much Jolt's concerns sort of limit the amount of equipment that they're usable with.
Like, I have a couple cool ideas here. One, these could actually be really cool for accuracy testing, but then also be really horrible for it. Here's why. That chalk is probably, let's be honest, not going to be evenly distributed in that head. And that's going to be like a lot of the weight, I'd assume. So you're going to be, I don't know how good the accuracy at range is going to be for these darts, because if they're unevenly weighted, especially even if you get one that's perfect, the next one will be slightly different. So you're kind of introducing some variables here.
Yeah. I mean, it's more, it becomes a question of like, are you testing consistency or are you testing accuracy? Right? Because like, if you take a whole bunch of the chalk darts and you're very careful to fill them all exactly the same way to exactly the same weight, and then do a bunch of testing with that, theoretically, like, yeah, like that's really useful. But is it that much more useful than like what Bradley Phillips does with the like slow motion video? I don't know. Like, it's a sure is a lot of time going into like perfectly filling and probably like weighing the chalk darts to make sure they all weigh exactly the same amount.
It's like they can weigh the exact same amount, but as soon as you turn them on their side, that weight's going to shift to one side of the head. Yeah.
That's true. Will, yeah, I potential, a lot of potential, but we're kind of going to have to wait till we get our hands on them and mess with them. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of opportunities for fun. I don't know how much the, like, competitive community is going to
adopt them.
Yeah.
I don't know I mean, it's kind of, again, like you're saying, until we see them, I don't know.
Yeah. However, yeah. Here's one last idea. How long will it be before somebody puts some like stinky spices in there, make your opponent sneeze?
Oh God.
Gotta get itching that pepper.
Powder. Jolt's going old school, like the itching powder joke.
Oh my God.
I have one potential thought.
Oh, hey.
What if you put them in a flywheeler? Is it going to peel open the like flaps by accident at some point if you put them through high enough?
Course? I didn't even think that.
Yeah,
I just thought it was going to screw up the blaster. Also, welcome in Grimms. Grimms just kind of showed up out of nowhere for viewers.
Yeah, just popped in with that idea.
I started recording before I hopped in.
Nice. Beautiful. That's a delight. Okay. Well, you got here just in time for us to play What's That Blaster?
Aren't we going to do the question first?
Oh, you got here just in time for us to answer the question.
Perfect.
from one of our, from Teacup Story, one of our subscribers. And I don't have the question up. Give me just a second here.
Incredible.
We are very prepared for this.
We're so prepared for it.
So just to recap, if you subscribe on our Ko-fi, you get to ask us a question that we will, whether we like it or not, answer on the podcast. You also get to
if it's real wave safe, that is.
we do get some control. Like
that's true.
We're not gonna answer the question. What are your social security numbers? you also get to ask questions of our guests, and you also get to pick a hobby related item that you want to see us slip into an episode. We choose how to do it, but assuming we have access to it, we will make it happen. And in some cases, even if we don't have access to it, we'll use a picture of it really creatively and just work it into the episode somehow. Maybe it'll just appear in the background. Maybe it'll become part of a visual joke. Maybe it'll something like that. But each month that you subscribe, you get to just pick something and we add it to a list and we make sure it makes it into the episode. And then you can look out for it in the show. We have already put Teacup Stories item in the show.
Yeah.
So you can try and guess what that was. Or maybe she will yell about it in the comments. Who knows? One way or the other. However, her question for us today is, if money was no concern and there were no physical barriers or education experience barriers like having a doctorate, what would be the profession you would want to try the most? She picks archaeologist. What's all y'all's?
Lego designer.
Oh yeah, that's a
oh that's a good way. One. Jolt, say it again, just because
Lego designer
across board. Why?
What do they call them? Imagineers?
Why not?
Imagineers is the Disney one.
That's the Lego Disney. What was they one. Call them something else for the Lego ones? Don't they?
Builders.
There's Master Builders. Yeah.
Is it just Master Builder? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
Master Builder,
I think, is a wider category because I think Master Builder includes the Lego company builders, but it also is something that can be applied to people outside the company.
Right.
But yeah. You know, I think you're like a Master Builder at Lego if you. if you work for them, something like that. I don't know. That's a good one, though.
We're working for Lego. That'd be cool. Come on, we got to bring back really Bionicle, guys.
Yeah.
So I guess if money was no object, Jolt would like to be the CEO of Lego, then, is what it sounds like. The board of directors.
That doesn't sound as fun.
No, that sounds horrible. Oh, it would mean I could force through Bionicle.
You could
just
say you could bring back Bionicle, though. Nobody could question you. You're like, we're bringing it back, people. And they're like, but
vote
we're going to lose
so King
much money.
For
like,
Lego CEO.
Care.
We're going to bring back the Bionicle.
See? Now it works. Now you're like, ah, I see the power.
I have the power.
Exactly. You said you had an idea, Grims. What was yours?
So I've had a plethora of ideas of what I wanted to do with my life over the amount of years I've given it thought. If money was no object, the two things I'd want to try is the lesser of the two that I would be least interested in is maybe start my own business and see how it goes, because with money as no object, then clearly I could potentially make something work. I'd like to design some sort of product, maybe do a game development studio, something interesting, essentially, making some kind of product that I sell. If that wasn't the case, then I'd want to be the frontman of a band. That was actually something I almost attempted in high school before I got COVID. So that was my original like side idea.
It's an experience, I'll tell you. But yeah, those are solid. All right, Vile, you've had a lot of careers.
I have. And
is there any career you haven't had?
Many, thousands, hundreds of thousands, probably.
There's a lot of careers out there.
There's a lot of careers out there. But so mine falls in line with geology, actually. Like being a geologist. Because as a child, I actually had a huge fascination with volcanoes, specifically. And the study of volcanoes and eruptions and earthquakes. I actually, where I grew up was like in the middle of Texas where none of that stuff exists. So I didn't really have any ability to, you know, like kind of naturally go out and start researching it on my own and, you know, getting excited, which is why for me, when I went to Hawaii, it was like, fantastic. I actually stood in the volcano, which is right now currently erupting in the caldera. And that would be one, because I really liked just the study of, you know, again, volcanoes primarily, but also right. tectonic plates and, you know, anywhere from study of gems and the study of different type of rocks and formations and stuff. I always thought that was really neat. It's
I got a rock.
It's straight. Okay, I was a kid rock. That had a collection of rocks. Shut up. Leave me alone.
Oh, I did too.
Nerd.
All right. Just leave me alone, all right? But yeah, that would have been mine.
Mine's a little bit weird maybe. I've had jobs that were kind of on the cusp of this. But one of the aspects I really enjoyed about some of my previous careers was just like managing the facilities that I worked in. I had a lot to do with doing improvements and management on the theater building and the music building that I worked in, but I've never had the engineering background to really be like a facilities manager. If I could pick up all of that, a lot of that I don't have on board, I actually really enjoy that kind of work. I enjoy managing collections of equipment. I enjoy managing buildings and making sure that all the parts. That's one of the things I like about like where I live is, you know, we're in like semi-rural place, and so I'm sort of like managing the house all the time, which I really appreciate doing. So
like a site manager
sort of position is something that I would actually really enjoy.
See, it's not quite in that vein, but for the longest while, actually back in the day, this wasn't my choice, like I said, but like originally when I got into high school, one of the ones I was really considering was being an architect, interior design and exterior design and all that stuff. Not the engineering that goes into it, but like the buildings look, if that makes any sense. Because I was mega into that sort of stuff. I had like a whole journal filled with like concept houses and stuff that I had drawn.
That's cool. That's fun. All right. So thank you, Teacup Story, for that question. We may not always spend this much time answering a single question if we have a lot of subscribers and a lot of people asking questions every week.
We might have to do like a lightning round or something.
We might be doing a lightning round, but or we may have to eventually change this. But for now, subscribe. Ask us whatever you want. Once a month, we'll answer it on the podcast. And now it's time to play What's That Blaster? It is actually time to play What's That Blaster? And it is my week to pick a blaster that the rest of the crew has to guess. If they can guess it right away, they get 4 points each. If not, they can use 3 lifelines, the original retail price, the original release year, and the original stock capacity, based on the description with slight modifications, which is what I will be reading to them.
I'm kind of out of it today, so you're going to get delirious grim guessing on this one. So
incredible stuff. Currently, the score like stands at... Currently, the score stands at... This score... Words. I have 24 points. Vile has 25. Jolt has 33. Grim says 30. And some of our guests are on the board. Not Enough, Dart Sweep, Nate of World Form Alliance, and American Foam all on the board with some points. Are y'all ready? Oh, another thing that I have in caps here for me to tell people. Hey, if you've been playing this game along with us, what's your score? Be sure to let us know. Did you get this one? If folks guess, if people on the show guess incorrectly, we'll read the rest of the lifelines to give you a chance to guess.
I think Brad had mentioned something on their live stream that they may have been keeping up with us on the...
Oh, really?
I can't remember. He brought it up as a point that he enjoyed watching these, and like he was commenting on how Jolt's picks are sometimes very obscure.
They're so obscure.
Yes, yeah. they're obscure for a reason, because I'm a jerk.
Brad does actually have 2 real in-game points. So I would love to know what his score is overall, but he does in fact have real points because he's been on the show. Anyway, I am ready to read if y'all are ready to hear.
Let's go.
I'm ready.
Okay. Blast into dart firing fun with the Nerf series blaster name, Toy Foam Blaster. It's designed for action with onboard dart storage and pullback priming and includes 3 official Nerf series foam ammo. It blasts capacity ammo and has storage under the barrel for 2 ammo, so Nerf battlers can launch capacity ammo and quickly reload to keep on playing in kids' outdoor games. Start blasting in 3 easy steps with this Nerf series blaster toy for boys and girls. Load capacity ammo into the front of the barrel, pull back the priming handle, and pull the trigger to send the ammo flying through the air. This is a fun toy blaster for indoor and outdoor play with its easy-to-use design and Nerf series performance, and is a great blaster for anyone new to Nerf blasting or looking to add to their Nerf collection. I would recommend it, not included, no batteries required, Nerf and all related properties or trademarks of Hasbro.
Why does this sound like Chinesium version of like a Hasbro product? Like, this is
also
the knockoff.
you gave us the capacity.
This is my gut instinct, but this sounds like a Snapfire. I'm sure I'm probably wrong, but that's just my first vibe I got from this one. But we can continue. I'd be interested to hear what Vile
it's some
think.
Form of single shot with 2 storage. But I'm sorry, KT, you gave us the capacity.
I did infer the capacity because I knew you'd figure that out anyway. I did intentionally leave the inference.
So with 2 darts in the front for storage, you have things like the Falcon Fire, you have the Night Finder.
Fire
I don't know
strike.
What the dart fire strike. Yeah, so the fire strike. But then what was the dart tag version different that than that? Or
no, the sharp shot had 3 storage.
It said. Oh, wait, did you say batteries not included or batteries not required?
Batteries not required.
Okay, so it's going to be one with a laser. So it's either going to be the Fire Strike, the Night Finder, or what's that Rebel one called? Oh, no, that's the True Point that never came out.
No, you have to remember, there's the Elite 2.0 one. Oh, wait.
No, those were in the grip.
Yeah,
the Dart Surge was in the grip. So it's not the Vault. I'm going to go with ask for release year, narrow it down.
Yeah, I think that's going to be your only real option.
I agree.
Okay, release year? 2023.
2023, interesting.
Oh, yeah, now we're talking.
Oh, Oh, I
for
did,
boys,
I,
is this going to be one of the freaking junior line?
Oh, I forgot about. Oh, that would explain it.
Yeah, wouldn't that be part of the junior line?
But those had like four dart storage, not two.
I can't remember the
one
name
of them is
on
single
those
shot.
Things.
One of them is single
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, but it
though.
Had like four dart storage, not two.
Was it? Are you sure?
Yeah. One of them did. Maybe the other didn't.
I can't remember.
I wish there was
names.
A way. I wish there was a way to include the face reaction of the person who picked the blaster while the guessing is going on.
I edited the first couple episodes. I've had way more time like hearing those names, watching that segment over and over and over again. I should know this.
Oh, this this sounds exactly like one of the junior line and. I was gonna say
because the description language doesn't match that of the typical Elite 2.0 ones.
It really doesn't. And the other problem with that, especially because they're trying to make it very inclusive of both boys and girls, kind of thing, like, you know,
the re-release blaster. I have this one, the sharpshooter, but the dart storage is in the back. Up top instead of under the barrel.
Yeah, I was
going to
say it was on top, I was pretty sure. And this one said under the barrel. Oh, God, what is the...
I don't know the names on these blasters.
I think it was the flyer?
Was it?
Flyer's the one with the scope, right? No, actually, you might be right. It might be the flyer.
Let's go with Elite 2.0 Flyer, I guess.
Wait, is it the Elite 2.0 or is it the
Elite Junior? Junior
Flyer, that thing.
Yeah, because I'm not familiar with all the names, and I'm pretty sure I have the single shot one sitting outside, but I don't know the name of it. Crap. You know what? I think we should just go with the flyer. Because I don't think price or capacity is going to make a difference in this.
We already know the capacity.
Right. Well, I'm going to say, like, there's no point in using them, so. Is it the flyer?
Is that your final guess? Everybody agrees on that?
We're going to go with the flyer.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Oh, okay. What is it?
So, for the folks at home, the retail price is listed as $7.99 Canadian. It's not listed in U.S. dollars for whatever reason. The capacity, you are correct, the capacity is one. First of all, some of the things you were talking about, I covered the Elite Junior stuff probably more thoroughly than just about anybody else. The Flyer was my top pick out of the series, other than the Rambler, because it's the only one with dart storage. With front-loaded dart storage, like in a place that's useful. It has eight dart storage slots on the front under the barrel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
At least I remember the one that was single shot.
There's other single shot ones.
there are others, but storage.
There's a dual shot one and a single. There's the Voyager's double shot, and there's another double shot that's basically the same thing. It looks different. Anyway, this is not an Elite Junior blaster.
What is it?
It is the Elite 2.0 Sly Shot.
Ah, oh, dang it!
I knew I had something when I said snapshot.
I'm still waiting for this snapshot. It's in Europe, and it's like nowhere else.
We didn't get it. Apparently, they got it in Canada because the price is listed in Canadian dollars. Now, part of the thing too that throws this off is it's one of those dart storage things where it doesn't look like dart storage.
Yeah,
it's triangles.
Like, yeah. They're like trapezoidal, triangular. Yeah.
And they will hold a dart. But.
Oh, my God.
But yeah.
Okay.
It's one
good
of these
one,
alpha,
KT.
Alpha
yeah. Because when you first described it, I was like, this sounds like one of their budget lines based on the language. And then you said pullback. And I thought, oh, that's the Snapfire. But the Sly Shot's the new Snapfire.
You were half right.
Yeah. I was half right.
The other thing about this is this description, it sounds like it was written by an AI. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It repeats itself multiple times. It just rambles. It keeps saying for boys and girls, which, like, fine, that's good, but like
I think they're trying to hit the search engine or something.
they all, I'm sure that it's SEO, search engine optimization. They say it's good for outdoor play, outdoor kids battle play. Nerf battlers can launch one dart and quickly reload to keep playing in kids indoor games. Like, what a weird sentence, right? So
yeah, that sounds like a weird Amazon description.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also thought that it was just fun to pick something that's like really new, because we tend to pick like really obscure old stuff. So
I also like to think that the fact that we, like, this isn't necessarily a good thing, but this is something that happens with how many stories we cover. They all just start to blur and blend. And
oh my God, it's so true.
It's kind of like, so I forget what week we're on sometimes and what day it is, because everything just blends together. I have to remind myself, is this a production week or is this a break week? And it's not even technically a break week at that point.
And speaking of which, before we move on to Nerf Ball, Grimms, you weren't here at the very beginning and we were talking a little bit about how far the show has come. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that too, because, you know, I was like looking back on, not even going back to episode one, just going back to like episode 10, right? And looking at how much the show has evolved.
I mean, yeah, considering the fact that, like, even if we're talking about origins of the show, I mean, this was originally supposed to be like, when I came up with the idea, it was going to be like a occasional thing on my YouTube channel that I wasn't intending to go anywhere, that was purely for fun. And now we have four people. A Ko-fi, YouTube monetization, infinitely more subscribers than my main channel. We have a full process of stuff at this point. We have like supporters and fans, and it's weird. It's weird in a good way. It's like in the best way possible. Yeah, yeah. I love each and every one of our viewers. It's just wild to me. Especially when you consider like the first couple episodes, the aching pains of trying to figure it out. We tried to get as much of it in air quotes right before we even started, but even that clearly wasn't enough. We just kind of had to hit the ground and try and figure it out, you know. We had to actually attempt to walk rather than theory crafting how to walk.
My friend I like to talk about all the time, Jonathan, who's written a song every day for over 5,000 days, likes to say sucking at something is the first step to being kind of good at something.
Yeah. I mean, so the process of doing the news, I feel like I feel like in recent weeks, we've definitely sometimes been a little close to the deadline. But I think at the very least, we're much more on top of things at the very least. And we're more able to handle last minute stories than we would have been had we had this happen as frequently when we first started. Like, I think we would have just curled over in a ball in like week, month one and we would have just been like, doesn't matter. Next episode.
Well, and, you know, Radioactive was joking in the Discord today. It was like, oh, what is this recording, not the day you're supposed to release the thing? And it's like, that's a big part of I think how we make this work is, and we've gotten better at this over time, where it's like, if can we do this early, let's do it early. Because we know that stuff's going to get thrown at us the
we're
either going to get it wrong or not get it in at all if we aren't up on all the other things that we can be up on.
The first two episodes released, I mean, some of us were filming the day before release, and I was, as soon as all the segments were in, I was started editing immediately. And I remember I would finish hours before it with the release schedule, and I'd go to bed. I remember I'd tell you, I'm going to bed, in your live stream or whatever, hop in and just let someone know, hey, somebody do the tags for the video. I'm going to call it a night. And then I'd wake up and see how the video did.
Oh my God.
That was not great.
No. Okay.
And usually we ended up having a lot of stuff incorrect, at least editing wise at that point, because of that.
Yeah. I mean, we got our facts straight, I think.
We got the facts straight. Like, we put a really big emphasis on that.
Yeah. But we've actually been able to do most episodes lately. We've been able to do a draft, which is a really big deal. We're early enough that we can post, like, we have like a little 480p draft that most of the team has watched, so we get to kind of catch errors and like fill in gaps, which feels really good.
I mean, you also got the compendium done recently, and that's really handy.
What Grim is talking about is we actually have a secret spreadsheet that has every story listed for every single episode and who reported on it and all kinds of information like that, so that we're able to look up when something was reported on last. You might hear us referencing more like that we previously covered something back in episode. We referenced episode 8 like 3 times this episode for some reason.
Just had that a lot specific stuff episode. Back. Yeah.
Chalk darts were that episode. What else was it? Chalk darts and I don't know. There were multiple things that we referenced in episode 8. Okay. For real though. Moving on. Nerf ball.
Nerf ball.
Yeah. It's weird because we've known about it for so long and it's been teased so much, but this still feels like a lot all at once. Like I don't want to like just like give them the whole pie right now just because they made one cool thing, but like I'm really excited about Nerf ball. It looks really good. And I feel like there's a lot of potential in the ecosystem that they've created around Nerf ball. Those barriers, if those things are vaguely affordable, have the potential to like revolutionize what clubs do.
Okay, I feel like this is the time when I need to actually look at the Nerf ball announcements. I have not as of yet.
I mean, even all you have to do is even just check our 480p draft, and it gives you a good enough idea as to what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, you
know? Yeah.
I will also be honest. I haven't watched too much of it. I watched a little bit, and then I watched our 480p draft and looked at our scripts. However, I have been keeping up with everything up until this week. It's just that I've been very out of it. I'm excited for it though. I like competitive gameplay. And it's fun if you're partaking in it, but I will say it's not visually interesting, if that makes sense. And that's no offense to any of the players on the field. It's just not as interesting to me, if that makes sense. It's different when you're on the field and you have the adrenaline, but it's not as visually good to look at. I feel like Nerf ball, because of how long sports have been, there's a funny ball on the field. You got to do something with it. And this way our minds are just geared towards, you see the ball, you understand this is a sport. Your brain starts, the cylinders start firing, thinking like that. And so I think with how it's functioned and how it works, it's more conducive of your brain thinking, oh, this is fun, I'll watch this.
As the one person here who has not only watched, I think, I've watched the entire game, the exhibition game. I'm probably the only person that watched the whole thing, right? I don't know, Vile, did you watch it?
I have not watched the whole game. I'm gonna watch it
immediately after this though.
It's worth watching. It's very well produced. It's very entertaining. They have all these young athletes, and they have what's his name? Donald Driver. And they have Luke, and they're all good on camera, and they're all like really playing it up, and they're all charismatic. A lot of production money went into this. It's very well put together. One of the things is, and this is universal across all the dart play I've ever seen, a person getting hit with a dart does not read on camera. Never has, never will. And as a result, like, they're constantly, like, players are unaware that they got tagged. Like, there's a couple spot where, like, the ball gets tossed in, but then the referee has to be like, no, you got tagged before it went in. Now, I think that that's part of why, you know, one of the things in there is they have these suits that they're developing where, like, if you get hit with the suit actually has lights, like, around the neck and around the sleeves, I think, that light up to indicate that you got tagged.
I'm watching the video right now. I'm not seeing that, but that sounds really cool. Oh, wait.
They're not wearing them in the game. Okay. There's a couple shots. There's like a shot about 2 minutes into the video where you can see Luke and his team wearing different outfits that have these like big panels on them. And I'm fairly confident, and Perry from Out of Darts said that he's pretty sure those were the suits. They had them try them on, and they tried them out, but they didn't wind up using them in game.
If that ends up being a thing, because I'll say there's a difference when you have something like paintball and that's broadcast on TV because there's a massive splat, but that's also conclusively why you don't see airsoft broadcast on TV.
Yeah, you can't see that on TV.
You can't see that at all. And Nerf, while you could do, say, for example, very high contrast darts and like really annoyingly white clothes or something so it contrasts when you get hit, or something. I feel like this with the lights and sounds, and if they play something on the screen or something to where there's like some sort of graphic that indicates that they got hit over the person's like player card or something.
I think that that's what they're going for, right? I think that's why they are approaching that particular technology, because they want it to look better on camera, which is a very good marketing thing for them. And it makes it, it puts them in a position where, you know, they could be consistently televising competitive Nerf battles. I think the suits are going to become something that are widely available. Like, I think the barriers have a potential to be. Or the Strife X.
At the very least, the hoops probably would be the thing that they'd sell.
Yes. I thought that that was really interesting. I think that the marketing potential of it is really interesting. And, you know, if people get into that, that's good for the hobby. It's cool to see Nerf doing something that feels, like, relevant to us, even if it's not focused on us. Right. Yeah. Like, obviously, they're trying to reach a broader audience with this. And like the design of the Strife X comes very much from the work that the hobby has done.
The other thing, too, is that I feel like this slots in nicely, if that makes any sense. It feels like unoffensive. It adds to the experiences that our hobby can have and will have, introduces new stuff and brings blasters that are good for our hobbyists, bringing attention to it. Without potentially, in air quotes, competing with other events, if that makes sense, because it's a uniquely their thing. So it's its own experience, but it also slots in nicely and adds its own things that are beneficial to the hobby. And I think that's like the best thing they could have done.
That is the best of both worlds. I agree. I think that that's really good. I think that that's so true. Here's my concern. Is this going to be something that, like, Nerf Ball, we've been given a rule book, right? This is a game, a rule book set, that pretty much any club could just crack out and do. You wouldn't have the RFID bracelets, and you're going to have people with different blaster types, which will change the balance of the game. But if you have barriers, anyone can put a ball in the middle of a field and put baskets on the ends of both fields and play a game of Nerf Ball tomorrow.
Now I'm gonna say something right here that I might, it's a little controversial, but the crossover we've been waiting for, chalk darts plus Strife X equals at home Nerf ball.
Chalk darts plus Strife X equals a Strife X full of chalk.
That
has Jolt mentioned that
too. I brought it up a little bit ago, but I don't know. It would be interesting if it works. I'm just saying.
Now I see, you know, we had it in San Diego, actually. They had a game where it was sort of like a capture the flag, but there was one flag in the center of the field, and there was like a barrier, like it was like a sort of a cross shaped barrier, and the flag was placed right in the middle of that. And the goal was to try to get a hold of that and then get it back to your base. You're kind of taking an element of that, because it was very fast paced. There was a lot of barriers, place people were ducking, and you know, people had to cover and stuff like that. This sounds very similar, you know, in theory, like it sounds very similar. It's just that the difference is, instead of taking it back to your base location, you're trying to actually score a goal with it, you know?
Yeah.
So, second idea, red herring plus chalk darts plus the goals equals at home Nerf ball. You can one hand the Springer.
Exactly, because this is my biggest complaint with Nerf Ball is no Springers. Like, how would you use one?
Give Taffy money.
Well, one of the things that you'll see in the game that I thought was really fascinating is a lot of players, and the Strife is good for this, right? Because it's very light, it's easy to pick up. A lot of players would just, like, look at a teammate and signal that they were going to go for the ball, put their blaster down, and make a ball play while the teammate covered them. That was a strategy that I saw all the time, and part of it is really interesting because that is culturally a very different thing from how people handle their equipment in our hobby, generally speaking. Not universally, but generally speaking. And like, I think part of that comes from, like, you go to an HVZ, you're at a giant college campus, right? You're not going to just put your blaster down and assume that it'll be there later.
I would disagree, and the only reason I say this is because of early HVZ, because I know people who used to play a lot of early HVZ, and I've seen a lot of it. One thing I've seen at least commonly in old videos, is people would straight up, if they were running an objective or something, or trying to grab the MacGuffin or doing something, they'd straight up chuck their blaster to the ground. They had their name on it, and they'd leave it, and they'd bolt for the thing they were supposed to carry in the old HVZs. I know it's not something we do now. It's not something we do now, but I think it's interesting.
Well, it's not super common, and it might just have to do with the size of the event, right? Or the size of the space. Yeah. But regardless, just to see this in like a sort of a compact play setting where there's a limited field size, right? And a player just puts their blaster down and runs for the ball and tries to make a basket. But there's also a couple crazy plays that people make with one hand on a blaster and the other hand with the ball. I'm not going to give too much away because y'all haven't seen it yet. But
I'm
really
wondering if they added slings, because they went through the whole effort of extending the strife heel and adding a sling point. Couldn't you at that point run a springer, and when you're grabbing the ball, you could signal to your teammate, hey, cover me, and they just drop the blaster to their sling? Say, for example, if you were playing at home and you didn't want to straight up drop your blaster on the ground, you could just have a 1-point sling or a 2-point sling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That. I mean, it'd clatter around, so you'd be very obvious that you're like running, but you have the ball. People are going to have their eyes on you anyways. It's fine.
So I guess I'm kind of wondering what we think the like adoption of the game type might be in the, it looks fun and it's not that dissimilar to a lot of game types that we already have.
I know locally, at the very least up at the Kansas City Club, they were originally striving for more of a Foam Pro Tour friendly style competitive league, but then they tried out just one day, they're like, let's try it. They tried the what's the one that's we covered back in like the first episode or second episode, that other game type that's
speed
really
dart
popular. Speed dart. They tried speed dart, and it's all they do now when they do competitive practices on a separate date, because they enjoyed the more fast-paced gameplay and the other unique aspect to it. So I feel like there might be clubs. I mean, it would require that there actually be tournaments that they could do it at if they were to like have separate competitive days, but I could see reasonably that some clubs might swap over to that, or at the very least, if enough people like the idea, they set separate periods to try Nerf Bile.
That's a totally different game. I mean, you know, I used to go to a game, I haven't been in a while, but that was very like competitive focused, like high FPS springers a lot of the time, and I took gear so that we could play Titan Ball, and that became like one of the favorite game types. It's just, you know, who is the group of people, what does the field look like, what are they into. I think there's the potential for this game type to get picked up in a few places, but I know that we also really like to do... I mean, you know, a lot of our competitive games also have the option of the, like, capture the flag style.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the long run that you can make with a with a MacGuffin in the middle of the, field.
Our local group that isn't the Kansas City Club, like our actual In My City group, which is really small, I feel like some of the guys who show up to these events actually would be a pretty... into the whole Nerf ball thing if they actually start selling equipment.
Well, so that's another question, is what is the likelihood of the actual Nerf equipment being widely available? Like, as of right now, you know, they have a like check out the equipment button on their website, and the only thing you can buy right now is the Strife X, right? They did the announcement. I can't imagine they're not going to at least make the ball available.
Well,
I'm really itching for the barriers to be available, just because they look like good barriers.
I was going to say the ball is definitely, because they had like, what was it, the Nerf Fire Tech balls or something at one point back in the early 2000s. The ones that you wore the funny glasses on.
Yeah.
And then they've done a variety of Nerf balls at this point. So I think that would be definitely something we'd see come to market. I can't imagine the RFID stuff would be, except for if you did a bulk purchase or something.
I have a feeling the suits, the RFID,
it would be like
some of the more esoteric stuff
into a league or something.
Yes,
you know?
The hoop.
Well, and the hoop. I don't know about the hoop. The hoop could go either way.
Somebody brought up a good point though, that in the description of the rule set, that they did give a dimension or size of the hoop, or like how high up it needs to be set.
Very true.
They didn't give that. So they said if they're not going to do that, then they either need to offer one that is sort of their, like, you know, standard one, right? Or give those dimensions or something, because they were like, well, how do we... I mean, like, here's the idea, but if people have, like, a wider hoop and it's higher right. up or lower, or if it's a narrower one, you know, that can definitely change your game style and on how you play. So I think they brought up a really good point with that.
And now I'm going to have to say, I think we're going to see the bunkers. And the only reason I say that is because if I'm Hasbro, they put a lot of stuff into experience-based things and all sorts of different stuff with the Nerf branding on it that isn't even necessarily sensical. Like, we just covered a Nerf theme park or whatever, something like that, right? And they put in all the money into buying out the big bunker brand with the inflatables back when that was really big. And if all they released with it was just a couple small things, I mean, that's basically being money wasted, that you're not getting your return on investment for that company. I'm almost wondering if they didn't buy that company, considering the fact it's been under production for so long, for something like this, if that makes any sense. So that way they
maybe
have facilities. So, I mean, it's just sleeping on potential profit.
Well, and speaking to the theme park thing, too, I do suspect, and someone mentioned that they thought this was already happening, you know, some of these location-based experience things. We've talked about the ones in England where it's like the family camps that you can go to, and they have like a Nerf experience there. And then now in the U.S. they're opening some of the action experience stuff, and the action experience coming to America. There's one in Taiwan, I think, that's really popular. Is it in Taiwan or Singapore? Is it in Singapore? Okay.
Yeah.
I must just be thinking about Nerf Taiwan's reporting this episode. And then the theme park in South America, in Brazil. All of these are potential places that they could build a Nerf ball arena.
I mean, those are all prime locations that would make sense for having a local league or something like that.
Right.
Like
they could England, either have a league America, or even just Singapore. Exhibition games. Like, you have an exhibition game and you try and sell someone a Nerf ball on the way out the door. And now those people go home and they're like, oh, like, let's like try to sort of play Nerf ball with the equipment we have. And then pretty soon they're like, let's just order a kit from Nerf and like start a league.
It's a lot smaller in scope, but I could see at least even some of the smaller locations, if they make more of them, having something similar to how you can like rent a soccer field out for a little bit and have your friends all. But that would be a lot less ambitious than I'm sure than what they have planned. You can't spend that long developing something and that much money for it to be just
here. Right. It is. And that's
yeah. So, because I think the big question is this going to be something that you can go on their website and individually buy all these pieces, or is it something that like a Nerf club saves up $5,000, $10,000 for and orders a complete Nerf ball package from Nerf?
I'm almost wondering if we wouldn't see both, if that makes any sense. Like, the
I'd love to see
package.
Both would be best. I would love both. That gif of the two guys from what movie is that? From is it from Hunchback? No, it's from
Road to El Dorado.
Yep.
A Road to El Dorado. Thank you. Yeah,
both,
where they're
both,
like both,
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 is,
both
good.
Is good. Yep. Exactly.
I was going to say though, it's like it's too much money for the development being left on the table for them to not at least attempt to sell it to consumers, because I don't think Hasbro's ever done a thing where it's clubs only or business only can buy this product that's under the Nerf line, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, with the huge amount of facilities that they are backing, they are pushing hard. Seeing how many have popped, obviously this was being developed and we saw a lot of these patents and things popping up prior to COVID. And, you know, COVID really, you know, in the lockdowns worldwide just really put a huge damper on them getting it out sooner. But they were clearly going to be making this push a long time ago. And
I mean,
now they're really coming after it pretty hard.
People were saying this is too little too late, and that, well, Dartzone already does tournaments. Dartzone already has pro blasters, etc.
Quote unquote tournament. Dispute.
In my case, it almost feels like Hasbro was just stacking their full house deck so that way they could just go bam, 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 bam as soon as they go out the door. So whenever they're ready, they have all the locations already set. They have the equipment to record it.
Yeah.
Hasbro's doing the slow and steady prepared approach, while Dartzone is doing the F around and find out approach.
Well, I mean, we saw, and obviously there's a lot of memes and there was stuff around it. Obviously, Dartzone got kind of tried their, you know, putting their hat in the ring. They put their hat in the ring. They tried it out. They had to get a venue. They even during the gameplay, there was a lot of you know, confrontation of rules and how they were implemented and things.
Dispute.
So clearly, there wasn't a full, you know, understanding of the complexity that goes along with this. But with Hasbro's doing, they're creating their own facilities where they could even house huge events like this. So it's not that they have to find a venue. They made their own venues at that point.
Yeah, you know? I'm just really interested to see how this goes, because I was a big Dart Tag fan. I never got to actually play in one of those, and I came to the hobby after the fact. But just watching all the videos, I was like, that looks like so much fun. Even if it's not, you know, even if they hadn't done a 150 FPS Strife, you know, mm-hmm. had it just been stock blasters doing Nerf Ball, I still would have thought that would have been cool. You know, it still would have been an interesting experience.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
So the fact that it has high performance blasters just makes this more interesting in my mind. So I know we have our own competitive game types, but this Hasbro spin on is just something I would like to try personally.
Yep, I agree. Speaking of high performance blasters, really quickly, and hopefully fulfilling my dream of keeping the podcast under an hour and a half. really, really quickly, thoughts on the Moab, which has been around for a bit, and we haven't talked about it previously, but now that it is ostensibly available for sale.
If you want a used car, sure.
Yeah, so it's a over $5,000.
Granted, it's huge.
Massive. Extremely complicated, takes a ton of print time, a lot of materials, a lot of hand construction.
Programming.
I know a lot of people are going at it after the price, but if you are the first person to market, I'm not going to complain, considering the fact that he is the one who did all this design work. Something I haven't seen before. There's a lot that goes into it. I'm sure you could probably make one cheaper or potentially more durable, but he has just finished development on this thing. You can't expect the dude to have a full machine shop ready to make a bunch of these things.
Well, but, do you want to buy a thing just above cost, have the guy walk away with like $100 per blaster in profit,
and then
disappear into the ether? Or do you want to actually support a company that will continue to exist and be able to support your product and send you and give you upgrades to it and send you software upgrades for the microprocessor in it?
I'm sure they'll be needing replacement parts, because from what I had seen, at least the prototypes loved to shred themselves.
I am not which, the market like, audience fair. For this, but I still think it's cool.
It's what? I think it's 6 AEBs out of PLA, and they're firing at ridiculous speeds. Like, that's gonna wear down.
If you start, but you have to look at it, and when you get into this as well, he made 100 units, and there were 4 initially that were his own. I think, obviously, like, it was probably, I don't know if he's actually giving one. He gave one to Walcom. I don't know if Xavier's going to get one. I don't know if anybody else is going to get one. But he had 4 originally, and then there were 96 that he put up for sale as the first batch run for people to buy. There are only 2 left. The fact that there are only 2 left shows
Domo-
you.
Domo was actually talking about this. It says there are still 96 left, but then the website later says only 2 left to buy. So the website is just really weird without its listing information.
I've been trying to understand this, right?
It said 96 of 100 were available, but only 2 were left to sell. Like, cause
right.
Because when I originally saw it, it was already down to like 8 or 10 of them for sale, and then it went down to 2, and I'm like, well, people are clearly buying them, so either the website started at the 96? Because
we're talking about if 98 of these have sold at, what was it, 5,000...
227.
That's $512,246 in sales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
That seems unlikely.
But even if only 10 of them sold, that's still quite impressive at that price point. You know, like,
yeah, it does say only 2 left of this batch, and they do say out of 100, but it says this Moab is available as a limited edition. There are only 96. Okay, so I am thinking the rest of them must have sold then, because it is saying at the top, and the other stuff was text that was added in earlier, it looks like. So I'm assuming that most of them have sold. I mean, this doesn't surprise me. Me and Dorian have followed, for example, we talk about Explorer a lot, but that's just because of what we know. But Explorer's market was not the American market. It was people in the Asian countries who had a lot of money to spend, and these right. people wanted novelty products that were really durable and looked a certain way and felt a certain way. And so there are people with that kind of money in their pockets lying around. It's just, it's not in your average American customer. And considering this is a mostly American people Discord. It makes sense people can't fathom doing that. It's because they're probably not the target audience in this price range, I guess.
I mean, well, like, I've spent a lot of money on some ridiculous objects in the past. I could fathom buying something like this. There are situations where I would use it. I'm also a content creator. I could get a lot out of owning an object like this for sure. It's the quantity of people. The idea that 98 people, before we had a chance to even report on this thing being for sale, spent that amount of money. That is what's a little bit, like, how many blasters on average, how many of each model of blaster that Explorer made ever got sold?
Well, I mean, it is based on, like, again, whether it's
actually
something to do with it.
Well, but quite a lot's got to be, like, in the hundreds at the most.
Yeah. Well, like, probably. Even in this case, though, so if it's something to do with it was written incorrectly or written poorly, you know, Tommy put this stuff up on YouTube. It exploded, right? Tons of people found out about it. And
he's got a world record.
We're talking about Mark Rober here, who also has millions of people who follow. You know, something goes wild. Other content creators who might not even be in the hobby just see this thing and they're like, I've got to have it. And you never know.
That's true. There's a lot of people outside, way outside of the hobby.
Who knows? Mr. Beast could have ordered like 10 of them for some ridiculous video.
That's actually,
I can see it now. With a thumbnail with his face, and it's just like, we got the world's fastest firing Nerf gun, and we're giving them away for free to some stranger
with
or something.
Nerf mini gun up against each other or something.
Yes.
Exactly. You are 100% true, about that.
Right, like in our own hobby, sure, we've got a lot of, you know, younger demographic, people who may not have that kind of money, but at the same time, he put it in a media space where so many people who are making content or who would love to just get a hold of it, but just because it's just so stupidly ridiculous to have, or who want to make, like you just saying, like Jolt said,
I'm sure there's probably some dude who's like 50 years old and is sitting in his house and is like, that's something I dreamt of when I was in a childhood.
I want that
so
toy.
I have
to have that toy. And
me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there was someone who
I just don't have the money.
There's also probably someone who made that midlife crisis like purchase out of this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, it is a novelty item. Sure, it can't necessarily. Because I see the argument of like, oh, well, it's not going to last. It's like, this isn't really the item that you're going to be, you know, putting a 10,000 rounds through every week because you're going to events with it. And if it is, at that point, Tommy's probably going to, at some point, maybe, hopefully,
you're probably
if this is getting
someone to reload it for you.
Well, or also getting machined parts, and maybe this is the boost and the boon that he needs to actually get the, you know, engineering. Hopefully, that's what I'm hoping for, because I think it'd be cool.
One last quick thing on this. The Guinness World Record, I just want to speak on that for just a second. You know, Gatling Tommy just got the Guinness World Record for fastest firing Nerf blaster. There was a lot of discussion going on in the Discord. I don't know where that landed. My theory on this is that there is part of the reason that I think it's able to make that record, it looks like, is that it is actually six blasters firing simultaneously, as opposed to just a single, right? It's six AEBs essentially all together, and that's part of why it's able to fire so rapidly. I think if you take each one of those individual blasters, there's other things in the hobby that probably fire faster than it. I think also it might be a question of, from what little I know about how Guinness manages records, it's probably about being able to fire for this long so that it can actually be measured in a way that they're willing to confirm, because they're quite picky about how they confirm the records that they put in the book. So even if we had, like, if you made a blaster and it was like, you took like six pew-pews and you made a shell to put all six of them in simultaneously and said like, okay, well, and then you like offset them slightly. If you're still shooting out of an 18 round magazine, they're probably not going to accept that, because you can't continuously shoot for a long period
regardless
of time.
Though, it does appear that this is a faster rate of fire, just period. Even than say a fully up there Lepus or something, like this is faster. Like, you can see in the video,
because of the six barrels firing simultaneously.
Well, this, it's still only firing one technically at a time because it's rotating those around. It's just minigun, isn't it? Where the whole point was of the multiple barrels was they wanted the barrels to have time to cool down.
Yeah,
I think is what it was, wasn't it?
Something like that. Yeah. It is kind of funny, though. Like, I can already see like the memes about the Out of Darts unreleased Nodachi mag, so that way they can compete or whatever. And it's like
amazing
Photoshop to be like the size of a building or something.
Drum spring the size of a pizza.
Yeah.
Moving to our final situation here. Our little question that we like to end the show with. We did talk about a new theme park land themed after Nerf at the largest theme park in Brazil, in South America entirely. And so my question, and one of the features of it is a very large Nerf themed ride. And we don't really know what that is. They just say that there's a large ride.
I know that it was imported from Italy.
Well, that's just
piece
where
of
they
interesting.
Build them.
Yeah, they call it the spin. They call it the spin shot. So I'm could only assume it's a spinning ride. I don't know.
It's it's actually based on the Busby spin shot.
ride through the middle of a scar barrel.
So here's my question to you. You get to design a Nerf theme park ride. What is it?
Oh, this is easy. It would be basically you're on like a roller coaster, a very slow one, and it's taking you through things, and you have a proton pack built into the ride, and you get to shoot crap.
Oh, you kind of sold my idea, so I can explain mine a little bit more, but it's in a similar vein. So Nerf is kind of a hard thing to put into theme park rides, so my idea was there's a place a couple states over called Silver Dollar City that I've been to a couple times, and they have this ride in air quotes called the Flooded Mine. And how that works is you're taken through basically the equivalent of a shooting gallery and this theme building that's an underground, well, flooded mine essentially, and you fire at stuff, and then that's how you score points, and you basically compare points by the end of the ride. So in this case it would be something similar where you have something high capacity, or maybe you're given a certain amount of mags and there are targets you go through, and they maybe come up with some sort of lore with the building and what you're doing essentially. That makes it kind of interactive, and then you could maybe have a scoreboard or a leaderboard or something like of accuracy of shots or who got this many targets in X amount of time, etc. You know,
these are the themed things that currently exist as well at places like Universal Studios and Disneyland, because there was the I think it was Toy Story had one like this.
The Toy Story one at Disneyland is baller. It's so good.
I was, because see, the both of them have already taken the idea, because the first thing I thought of was that ride specifically, because I went on, I remember being on that ride and I was like, this is awesome. I'm pretty sure Universal Studio did it with the Mummy ride as well.
Other people have done it since then. Well, because the Disney originally had the Buzz Lightyear ride,
yes,
which they still have, which is you just have like a little laser shooter thing, and like you hit, you have an actual blaster in your hand. And then they did the Toy Story one where the blaster is a thing where you pull a string to like launch, and it's on you wearing 3D glasses instead of having like physical things that you're shooting at, and there's screens in front of you, and it's really, really fun. And like you get a score, and like you find out who won on your chair, on your like your
thing. I do
have
a secondary idea as well. One thing they could do is this incorporates the Modulus line, actually. So I know I haven't actually been, but at Disney, there's a ride where you customize your car with stats, and that changes how it affects on the in air quotes racetrack. So what you could do is you could have a setting screen. So everyone has the same in air quotes blaster, but they do different types of things. And it's a laser weapon, but it has like accuracy or rate of fire or other stuff that changes based on the Modulus attachments in the screen before you enter the room that you'd customize it with, essentially. And then when you take it out onto the field, which is basically a laser tag arena, you'd have different stats and they'd interact as such.
I like
that. And that's
that
how they'd
lot.
Register and other things.
I like
it would
that
be taking
lot.
Advantage of IP they already have while making it more interactive.
That's really, really good.
It also adds nuance and replayability to the experience.
Okay, well, I have two. One is a roller coaster, but instead of you being, because I love the idea of like you have like the equivalent of like a proton pack and you just get to shoot rival, and like you could theoretically automate like the way that you do it is like it's limited where you can shoot it to some degree, and so the large quantity of the ammo will get collected and they can reuse it or whatever. But what if instead you're in the roller coaster and the roller coaster is the dart? And it simulates
I knew you were going this route
back and fired. Because so like if you've ever been, so again, thinking about Disneyland, there's a, in California Adventure, there is a ride called California Screamin'. And one of the things that's really fun about California Screamin' is you don't, like, it's, if you've never been on it before, it seems like you're going to do the slow climb up the hill and then go down. No, it sits there and then it counts down and it just goes pew. It just like shoots from still straight up to full velocity and goes uphill at full velocity.
I know they have something similar at Disney where it takes you from like zero to something within a couple seconds. So you could, I already have a name for this. You could call it the Mega Accelerator, and they could put like the emphasis on the
X. There you go! If only they didn't kill Mega XL. Anyway, but yeah, so the idea is it like, it pulls back into a like a plunger tube and locks into position and then fires. And then you theme the ride so that it's like, you
go
know,
like,
the
scar
like barely miss, like go barely missing targets. You go through a bunch of that like faux rifling that they have first, and then you're like barely missing targets, and then at the end you like quote unquote hit something, like it. You, there's like a simulated
the whole
like,
time
impact at the end.
They have to have speakers, and they have to be playing Mississippi Queen.
I don't get it.
That would be perfect. There's a meme. It's a meme on the internet.
Oh, okay.
I love those.
I have two. I have to give you my other one. My other one is they've developed a whole bunch of like plot property. Build a themed experience ride based on Zombie Strike. Build a themed experience ride based on Rebel. Build a themed Doomlands. They've built all of these properties and abandoned them.
The last thing I talked about was Modulus, so you could do stuff like that where you have like different rides are under a different subline. Like,
yeah,
you could even fit in your Mega Accelerator idea into there or something.
Mega Accelerator going through the coop 9 million long barrel.
If Nerf had their own theme park, can you imagine if they had a Disneyland quality theme park where all the lands were themed after all these different things that they've had?
I mean,
the
amount
years?
Of different brand ideas they had, you could make a really stellar.
You
theme
could
park
have a Dino
that.
Squad land. You could have a Zombie Strike land. You could have a Rebel
Alien
land.
Menace. Yeah,
There's so many good ones.
Yeah, they've built a huge franchise between all of these different things too. So, could you imagine? Oh, I just realized. The old vintage ones, the old,
a Max Force line.
Yeah, the Max Force, the whole Max Force line with all the insects
Force,
and crazy.
Cyber Strike,
yes, there's so many.
Ooh,
you can
better yet, build up the lore that the Cyber Strike dudes have evolved that way to defeat all of the monster Max Force creatures. That's your ride. You are the Cyber Strike guy, and you have to destroy all the alien blasters.
I'm here for it.
You make like a Halo type ride or something like that, and that stuff. You create like a humans versus Covenant sort of story where the Cyber Strike guys are like your Spartans.
Well, Nerf, when you're ready to build your theme park, be sure to give us a call. We're your production team. We got you.
Hit us up.
Yeah.
But that is it for us for now. Thank you again to all of our contributors to the show. Thank you to our subscribers, Blaster Time and Teacup Story. Be sure to check out our Ko-fi. Be sure to check out our merch page. They're down in the doodly-doo down below the video here. If you're on YouTube, although at some point soon, if we pick up one more subscriber, we will be making enough monthly to pay for hosting for the podcast, and we put the podcast on actual podcasting platforms. So consider being that person. Also, plugs. What's everyone got going on? As usual, Vile streams on the weekends. Yes.
I don't know what day it is.
I am actually doing a charity event throughout the month of October, raising money for the BCRF, or the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. If we can reach certain milestones, I will actually be doing giveaways over on my streams as well. So I have blasters. I actually have a full built chrono mag and blaster battle packs and all kinds of stuff. So if y'all would like to come and help out, by all means, come on over to our charity event that we run. This will be the third year that I'm helping to run and organize.
Miles' giveaways are pretty sweet, I insist.
They're very good.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, I'm also, cool. I've mentioned this, Vile, but we need to solidify it. I'm going to offer a couple giveaways in your thing. So let's solidify that and finalize
Thank you.
I definitely have some stuff that'll be really good.
That'll be awesome.
So yeah, link to that will be down below as well. Be sure to check out Vile's streams. If you're watching this on release day, he's probably live right now.
Yep.
So perfect time to go check it out. And except we will change the release day once we go on podcasting platforms. We're going to move the YouTube release to Sunday, but the audio episode, I think, will stay Saturday. And that's that. We did it. Jolt even ate hot glue. And I think...
I did. I ate some hot glue.
And I think we did a podcast.
It was tasty.
It is. Quite delicious. It really is. It's absolutely... It tastes like a really flavorless gummy bear, but also kind of stale gummy bear.
God.
Amazing. Good night, y'all.
All right.